I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is your safe space here for you independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician, just kind of parsing through the news. Looks like Mississippi is poised. We're at a little bit of the forefront of reopening, it appears. I guess we have moved from, is it shelter in place to safer at home? Was the thing I've seen. I haven't seen a statement today. Is Tate Reeves speaking right now? I don't know. I'll look at it during the break and see. Got into the studio a little bit late, but I'll look and see. But it looks like we are starting to move back towards reopening, which is a good sign. But I have a weird take on this, I think. I'm constantly, when you look at news as much as I do, and you listen to interviews with a whole host of people. I mean, I'll listen to interviews, anything from something that's on the mainstream news to a Joe Rogan podcast to reading comment sections. And I really realize I just view a lot of things very differently. Very, very differently. There's some people probably see things my way, but we're always, each of us have got our own independent little things. There's still so much language out there right now about what is allowed and what is outlawed. There was there's the little news banner that goes along, and I've seen this particularly, and it may be on all channels because maybe this is the official language, but on WAPT where it says loosening restrictions in Mississippi after Monday, but gatherings of more than 10 people will still be, and the term used is outlawed. And I repulse at that idea that we're in this situation. We find ourselves in this situation where we have got leadership. I say that with a question mark. We've got people above us who are setting these laws now. We're going to get into I've got some clips. Look, all these things are always based on fear. And the problem for me is I'm not afraid of things. I'm not easily prone to be made fearful of something. Now, I saw this with 9/11. I was kind of in it, though, so I didn't. It was only in hindsight, 3 or 4 years after 9/11, as I kind of came to this awakening of some of the things that had happened post 9/11 that had changed our country dramatically for what apparently was no good reason. And I was in the fear, too. I mean, I filled up my car with gasoline on 9/11, and there were lines at the pumps. And, I mean, we didn't know the reaction of that day. But with any level of hindsight, this is about fear. The fear of the virus is the same thing that they gave us. The fear of terrorism and the fear of Muslims and the fear of these kinds of things. I didn't really think about it at the time of 9/11, where basically what came out was that they need to spy on us and they need to track us and they need to trace us and they need to molest us at the airports. They need to monitor our phone calls, our texts, our emails. Of course, they didn't tell us they were actually doing that to us. They told us it was just for foreign things. But we found out through WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden that actually they were surveilling us because there was a terrorist behind every tree. Now, I realized at the time, with a few years of reflection, I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. If every Muslim out there is hell-bent on the destruction of the United States and killing all of the infidels, we got 1 million Muslims in the United States. Kind of feels like there maybe there'd be an... I mean, 1 million people is a lot of people. That is a lot of people, and we had 1 million Muslims. Anyway, kind of digress. I understand fear. And I'll talk about that in just a second. I've got a clip about that. But what I have found myself really kind of getting bugged by, and this is where I think I really stand on an island. You can call and let me know if you feel this same way. But I'm so tired, and it doesn't take long to get me here, of the "we're so strong" messaging. There's always this messaging of patting ourselves on the back for being so strong and resolute. I've made many mentions that I get tired of listening to politicians say how proud they are of us, because I don't need the praise or the approval of a politician, either party, at any level. I don't seek that, really. I do what's in my own best interest or what's in my children's best interest. I think that's just normal. Animals in the middle of the jungle do things in their own self-interest, and they're the interest of their offspring. I don't need a politician to say, pat me on the head and say, "You're doing great, champ." And this first really kind of hit me, if you remember, after the Boston bombing. You remember when they had the Boston Marathon bombing? And what happened after that was one of the, I'm going to use air quotes here, in the studio, bombers. That story also kind of stinks to me. But they were searching for one person at large. I can't remember. It was the younger brother. I guess it was brothers that were implicated in this thing. The younger brother was at large. And Boston, one particular area of Boston, I don't remember the name of the area, they locked it down. They essentially told their citizens, everybody stay at home. And it wasn't a suggestion. It was more like this martial law declaration. And the police were going door to door, sometimes just walking into people's homes to search for this bomber while everybody cowered in their homes. And the term that came out of that was Boston Strong. And that just really struck me as, what's strong about being chased into your homes out of fear that you can't even go into your front yard? And this, if you remember this time, it was to me such an illustration of what authorities in this country can do with just a statement on the news. Everybody stay home. The police will be walking into your house indiscriminately to search for this person. Now, what would have been strong to me is a mobilized society that said, hey, we've got somebody who just did a terrible act out there. We're going to go find him. We're going to mobilize to track this guy down for this horrific crime. Now, I'm not talking about a vigilante crowd that beats him to death in the streets, but some level of vigilance and going about your lives, even in the face of such danger, because this is what we do with our lives, right? I drove here knowing that thousands and thousands of people will be killed this year in a car. I don't want a medal. I'm not strong for driving to, you know what I'm saying? Life is difficult. You do what you do. We have this culture of kind of automatic gold stars. This is what it kind of reminds me of. It's an infantilization of society in this country. This country built on rugged individualism. Everybody stakes out their own claim, and we go about, we are the ones that will get into a covered wagon. No highways, no roads, no nothing. We'll get into a covered wagon with a couple of horses and our entire family, including toddlers, and we will just head out into the unknown to try to conquer land and set up a homestead somewhere. That is the tradition of this country. Now, staying home and sitting on your couch is somehow strong. Now, I understand some level of prudence should be appreciated, particularly from those who are more vulnerable amongst us. And the healthcare community that was worried about the swamping of the healthcare system can appreciate the fact that maybe we did something to lessen the curve, you know, to flatten the curve. But it's this, every time we face adversity, we have to have all these flowering things praising ourselves. This is life, man. It's just life. And I think we've gone, and I think a lot of people might agree with this, we've gone to quite an excess. We've gone overboard on this. And I'm about to get into some of the numbers and these types of things. But it's like we're all trying to pin the media, and I guess this is some level from the media and the government, maybe it is some level of reinforcement. You know, when they're proud of us for doing exactly what they said. Now, I'm very encouraged by the protest movements that are out there. I'm very impressed by people, even the lady in the park, who was willing to get arrested. A mom out playing with her kids in a park in the sunshine after being compliant for probably a month or 6 weeks. She comes out, she dares to come out with her children in the park, and she's summarily arrested by police officers that are not wearing a mask or gloves, by the way. And so I'm very encouraged by that stuff. But this, we're so strong. It's just me. I understand it's just me, but I can't get rid of it. I don't want anybody telling me how strong I am because I adapt to a new condition in life. That's what living a life is. You got to do it all the time. Sometimes people who rely on parents, kids, they're 12 years old, they lose both of their parents. And yes, that's a strong thing that you have to do that. I remember after these recent floods, you know, I live in a neighborhood that took on some water, and I saw a woman who had two autistic kids. And they were displaced, and it was very disruptive, and they couldn't go to school where they were getting some help. And all the, and I just thought to her, wow, you know, that boy, that is rough. She just adapted. You know, you just adapt to these things. This idea of praising us all for our tremendous work. I really believe that that is what gets us to do this. It's this idea that, well, if we do what's right, we'll get the official stamp of approval. You know, in China, they've got the social credit score. Or if you're a good citizen, you have access to things like, I don't know, trains and transportation. And if you're a bad citizen, they score you on these things, and you can't get a loan, and probably can't get a job, and you can't rent a house or find housing, and you can't get on the trains, and you can't travel, because they score you on whether or not you're a good citizen. That's kind of what this feels like to me. This idea, only if you do the state-approved things can you be a valuable member of society. And don't feel weak by being cowering in your home in fear post-9/11 or during the time of coronavirus. No, you're strong. And this is these were the statistics. This is, I think, David Brooks. He was on one of the morning shows this weekend. I found this a little depressing, I got to tell you.
Americans, considering how polarized, we're amazingly united right now. 98% of Democrats and 82% of Republicans support the social distancing. 90% of Americans, complete bipartisan consensus, believe that if we loosen too much, there'd be a second wave. 76% of Americans say even if their governor did loosen, they wouldn't go out. And so, to me, the big story here is we're sort of hanging together through this.
Well, that's great. We're all cowering in fear. And again, listen, I know that I'm talking to a lot of people maybe that concerned this. If these polls are right, maybe these are just, maybe Mississippians aren't. I know a lot of people who are ready to move on with their lives. They think this is all ridiculous. And I think you're well within a reasonable belief to say what we've done has been absolutely insane. Listen to this. This is from the Illinois. This is no radical Republican, I'm sure. This is the Illinois State Department of Health. I think this is maybe the director of it talking about coronavirus deaths. You know, when you see these, you see these statistics on cases, that metric is completely worthless. They should, a responsible media, would not even report the number of reported cases because it only depends on a test. And they've already seen that, you know, somewhere between, I don't know, 20 to 80 times what number of tested have actually been exposed to this thing and maybe gotten it with no symptoms. The number of tests, I mean, the number of confirmed cases is completely meaningless. It means absolutely nothing. So if you see a chart with all of these new cases, all that is testing. We could have artificially flattened the curve if we had tested for 3 weeks and then just stopped testing. You would have seen all these cases go up, 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 and then they would have just slammed back down to the ground if we'd stopped testing. I mean, it doesn't matter. The health outcome would have been no different. But that particular statistic. So when it comes to, so what do we have to look at is the deaths. How deadly is this thing? How many people have died, right? That's the only metric that really even matters to know the severity of this thing and if what we have done is right or wrong. And you can't even trust that statistic. Listen to this. This is the director of the, I think it's the State Health Department of Illinois.
If you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if, technically, if even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death.
So, I mean, we're so strong. We're just so strong. We have been taught at the whim of whatever story, be it 9/11, be it coronavirus, be it anything. We have been taught to cower in fear, be it Boston, Massachusetts after the bombing there. And then to reinforce the idea that if you're compliant with the whims of whoever's in charge or whoever's got the microphone at that particular time, and health authorities too, they're not without blame in this thing either. I take on health authorities every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock due to the bad health outcomes of people in the United States. While we spend more and more and more on health care, we've got less and less health. It's actually a sick care industry, but health authorities too. And so I guess this idea that we're all so strong, air quotes here in the studio, by complying is just a bit of an experiment. Like patting a puppy on top of the head when it does the right trick. Again, I know. I'm probably to the extreme of people's views on this stuff, but that's all I can come to. And boy, I am sick of all the moral self-licensing, the virtue signaling of all of this stuff, that our compliance with this total decimation of mom-and-pop businesses, total decimation of tens of millions of people's jobs and our economy. Because we voluntarily just sat at home for 6 weeks, and somehow that's strong. I rebel against that. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Tell you, I could talk about this particular issue for the rest of today's show and maybe all week, but I won't. I won't. This is a short segment. I'm going to wrap this up and move on to some of the other things, but it is fear, people. Fear is what drives some of the worst policies, some of the worst actions by governments, by any institution. It's always driven by fear. Fear of terrorism, fear of the financial crisis in 2008. If they didn't bail out, if they didn't give at the time $700 billion to bail out a bunch of corporations, everybody was going to die. And so we allowed it. We weren't happy with it then. We don't seem to be as upset with it now. Now, again, we've paid every American $1,200 and given small businesses some of their money back. So we don't notice the $6 to $8 trillion that's flowing to the big corporations and the megabanks. But it's always fear that drives the worst things. And I don't think we're strong by acknowledging these fears. I think we're weak. We are cowed. We allow them, because everybody has a decision when you wake up in the morning, right? And in the face of a virus, it's really no different. You make just different calculations, right? They are talking, and I may get to the story in more depth later on. They're talking about whether or not if colleges can open in the fall. Like that's some kind of a question. Now, if you are a parent, and look, if you take this really seriously, if you're really scared of this thing, I'll tell you. I mean, I just did a piece there showing you that these death numbers are being manipulated as well. But if you're scared of this, then you have your own personal calculation to do. You've got kids that are supposed to attend a university next fall. I'm sure there may be some online choice you can make, or you can send your children back to school. That is such a personal choice to you and your best decisions for your children. But the idea that colleges maybe just won't even open up in the fall because we're so scared of another wave and we don't, oh my gosh, we don't know what to, I mean, the disruption to our way of life. Can we not just be human beings who, and believe me, there's a lot of not very smart people in our society. The American IQ is dropping by 6 points every generation. We're 50 to 75 years away from being functionally illiterate the way we're headed right now, but everybody should be able to make their own decisions. But this fear, this preying on fear, and if you think this is lost on people who have motives that might go contrary to what the average American wants, you can call them the elites, or you can call them the deep state, or I don't know what you want to call them. If you think it's lost on them that they get all these things done under fear. I mean, you look at what has taken place in the Middle East, $7 trillion thrown into a black hole of needless and endless wars. And why has that been allowed to happen? Fear. They had to scare you. They tried to scare you about North Korea. Even though out of no common sense in the world would say why Kim Jong-un, may he rest in peace, may he rest in turmoil, probably is a better term for him. We don't even know if he's alive or dead, but back when North Korea was the big story, they tried to stoke the fear. They had kids doing duck and cover drills in Hawaii, in Los Angeles, in Seattle, because this madman, out of all, it made no common sense. Why would this guy who's living the life of Riley over in North Korea, he's at the top of the heap. Everybody has been brainwashed to love him or is forced to love him. He has everything at his fingertips he could possibly ever want. I mean, the guy lives like a true king in his country, but we were led to believe that for some reason he would just lash out at the most powerful country in the world and just arbitrarily bomb one of our cities, even though it would mean an end to his life, his way of life, and his entire country. But they used the fear to stoke this, and then there had to be tough talk about North Korea and countering. There's no common sense to any of it. But it's fear. Fear on all this stuff. Fear put in the surveillance state. Fear put in the financial bailouts. Fear is what's driving the bailouts now. Fear is what is stoking the conversation about whether college can open or not. Fear will be what gets you to take the vaccine, tested or untested, good or bad. Fear will be what drives ultimately some level of a cashless society. Fear of what will happen if drugs were legalized like they were back in, you know, 1910, where you could go to the drugstore and get something that had heroin in it. But fear now says we got to keep fighting this drug war, because if we don't, there'll be a junkie on every corner. You'll be stepping over junkies constantly. Don't pay attention to the countries that have already decriminalized everything and they have not had those problems. It's always fear, but the problem is that the people who stoke the fear, they don't have the same interests as you and I. I'm looking at this commission to reopen America. It is full of globalists. It is full of the biggest corporations in the country, in the world. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's wise to get business leadership involved, but I got to tell you, their interests are not the same as the local restaurateur, the local credit union, the local plumber. As I say, I mean, this should be explored if people would just understand. You make your calculations. You decide based on facts. The problem is with this, particularly with this virus, like anything else, like terrorism. How many terrorists are there? We don't know. They don't seem to be bothering us. Is that because we spend $1 trillion a year on self-defense? They don't seem to be bothering Russia either. They don't seem to be bothering China. They don't seem to be bothering Switzerland, which spends probably about 2 cents on defense for every dollar we spend. So it's difficult to get facts. And with the coronavirus, it's one of the worst ever. because we are legitimately still learning some things about this. We don't know exactly how virulent. We don't know why it hits some people worse than others. But we should know by now that it is not an existential threat and it is not the zombie apocalypse. So you get to just play with that fear in the morning and waking up and make a judgment. I think it's worth going into the office and resuming a functional life. And someone else may say, I don't dare darken the door of any public space again, ever. I would like to, and probably should do, just a deep dive on every single one of the authorities that has sat in front of us and tried to get us to cower in our homes. And then to really kind of examine what their motives might be, because I guarantee you, it's not for love of the average American citizen. Now, that's not true for everybody. Some people may actually be concerned about people, but there's very, very few instances in the world where you see big events that were really based on some leader's just true love for the average human being. You know, we look at people like Bill Gates. He's credited with all this love and his philanthropic endeavors to get the world covered in these vaccines. Oh, he just loves people. He's taking his wealth and he's doing such good things with it. But I did a story the other day where it showed he'd been kicked out of several countries, India in one, where he was doing essentially vaccine trials on human beings, and a bunch of kids got paralyzed. But the media will tell you that he just loves everybody so much. I played a clip where Bill Gates went on to one of the financial channels and explained that the return on investment of vaccines is about 20 to 1, meaning for every $1 million you put into the vaccine industry, you get 20 million back. And so the motives of people who try to scare you, whether it's the warmongers, whether it's the vaccine peddlers, whether it's the surveillance people, the anti-terrorism people, it doesn't matter. Their motives are very, very different. And so your motives are pure at your individual level. You wake up in the morning, you make a decision. Got a bad bug out there. I'm vulnerable. I need to be very, very careful. For some of us who don't feel vulnerable, we just want to get back to our lives. So just make your own decisions. But this idea of these people, the Faucis of the world, the Burks of the world, the leaders of the world, that we subscribe some really noble purpose to them is completely lost on us. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0007 if you want to join the show. You know, they're talking about opening movie theaters back up during the news break just then. It's, you know, that they're going to enforce social distancing. Watch for this insanity. You go, you know, I enjoy going to see a movie with my kids. That was been one of our things growing up. I like movies. I like the experience of going to a movie theater. I do enjoy that. I think it's relaxing. It's a very good, relaxing escape to me. Hollywood's politics notwithstanding, I don't really care about that, to be honest with you. And so if you have a house or you're living with your children and you go see a movie, are they going to make you spread out? You can spend 6 weeks in a home with somebody, but when you go to a movie theater, they're going to make you sit, you know, a seat apart from everybody, which actually makes your kids and everybody a little bit closer to each other because you immediately start to pack out a movie theater. We don't know. I don't know what the policies will be, but are we going to have seat Nazis? Are we going to have people in the movie theaters taking a picture? Oh, I saw this people, these two people, they were sitting next to each other in a movie theater. Just get ready for the absolute insanity, because here's the other thing, too. The media has enjoyed great ratings on this. They always get better ratings in time of a crisis. It's one of their motivations to drive eyeballs to their stuff. Politicians get power. Media gets clicks and viewers. There's all kinds of things. There will be some new spike somewhere. And boy, it is going to be used to say, see, we opened too early. And they're going to try to get us just right back into line. And you have to, you know, these are the kinds of things you have to kind of get mentally prepared for before time. You have to be able to, you know, my whole show is about trying to see things ahead of time. I do shows about how, you know, the defense contractors actually have lobbyists that go on the air, but they're former generals. And so when you see a former general telling you how scared you need to be of North Korea or of Iran, I'm the one telling you, hey, that guy, that retired general on Fox News, actually sits on the board of directors of 6 different defense contractors. That's why he wants you to be scared of Iran. It has nothing to do with Iran seeking a nuclear weapon, has nothing to do with Iran being the largest sponsor of terrorism or whatever nonsense title they give them. It has to do with the money. The media will cover the next outbreak for the money. And there's another interesting thing I kind of see shaping up. And that is the people in the medical business. Now, they are our heroes right now, right? They're talking about a ticker tape parade in New York City for the first responders. Look, some people have been doing some tremendous work in some of these hospitals, and I'm long on record saying, like, nurses in the first place, I'm just stunned by what they do. I'll be honest with you, I just think it's gross. I don't like to be around sick people. Not that I'm judgy, I don't know, I'm uncomfortable. It's just, I'm not scared of germs, but I don't. So a nurse that goes into work day after day after day, I had a cousin who was she was a nurse in a pediatric oncology ward. So she took care of sick kids with cancer. You know, after a few years, she had to leave. She loved it. She did great work, but she just couldn't. It was just so sad. It was heartbreaking for her to see these kids, and some of them would pass away, and it's the toll on it. So I have great admiration for that. But, you know, the healthcare professionals have had their moment now, particularly nurses and doctors. As great as the work, they make sure I'm saying this right. They've done some great work, and there's some great nurses out there that take great care of very vulnerable people, right? You go to the hospital, and sometimes it's a serious thing, and you've got these people who come in, don't know you, but they do all these wonderful things to try to help you. That's very admirable. But that when they have their day in the sun, people, it's human nature to not want to give it up. You watch when you see sometimes these kids in the school shooting. I believe this happens now. These things are managed, right? You know, there's a lot of people behind it. But you see kids in the case of a school shooting. They may have no stance on gun control or anything like that, but then suddenly they're lifted up as being these, they're so strong to have lived, you know, the Parkland shooting survivors. They're so strong. These kids are so strong. They've been through so much. And suddenly these kids go, oh, look at this. I'm on the national stage and people are clapping for me and they want to hear everything I have to say. Suddenly I'm very important if I embrace gun control. And so there became this group of Parkland students. Now, maybe these were some normal, decent children, but they're manipulated for political purposes, and they find their moment in the sun. And an issue they didn't care about 2 weeks earlier suddenly becomes the core of their existence because that's where the attention is. What I'm saying is, it's going to be very interesting that now a lot of people in the medical world they're enjoying their moment in the sun. If this pandemic goes away, they kind of slink back into obscurity, still doing good work. People will still appreciate nurses. I think we've always got a healthy respect for doctors and nurses that help people. but they've got their moment in the sun. They're going to kind of hang on to that. It's human nature. I don't know if I've ever been put in that situation. I might do exactly the same. Something happens and suddenly all this attention is called to me and I've become some level of a celebrity on some issue. I may just want that issue to continue to keep going. You know what I'm saying? And I'm afraid that the medical establishment, they're going to want this, you know, when the flare-ups come, you will have the authorities. You know, we've had a lot of these things where medical professionals, and I'm not questioning their motives at all, but the message has been, we'll go to work, you stay home, that kind of thing. But are they going to let go of that? I mean, we have put these people on a pedestal now. And naturally, human nature is, they're going to want to maintain that pedestal. And so we may end up seeing some face-off between medical professionals and the average person, because a lot of people in medicine are in the world of academia. Notwithstanding the doctors and nurse practitioners that may go out and open up a private practice, many healthcare professionals have been hurt by this thing too, with elective surgeries canceled. But a lot of the people, the healthcare authorities, the people who have been on the front lines of this pandemic, are not people who have made a payroll. They don't understand the balance that business owners have to strike. It's all good and well to sit from a tower of academia and say, the best thing we could possibly do is all stay home for as long as it takes until all cases are gone. But they don't understand the reality of having to make a payroll, of having to make a rent payment on your shop, to have to try to bring customers back in, even at the face of a possible risk out there. They don't understand that. So they're, from a very pure point, they're just coming at this from the, you know, the science, air quotes here in the studio, and the academia of it all. And they're not understanding, although I'm seeing some cracks in that. A couple of doctors have come out and said, what we're doing right now is actually unhealthy and hurting our immune system. Sitting inside your house all day, it's terrible for you. So there are healthcare practitioners who are seeing the downside of what we're doing now, too. But it's going to be interesting to see if we end up with some kind of a back and forth where people who've had their moment in the sun don't want to relinquish that. They want to make sure that the virus is still front and center, that they are still getting to weigh in, that they're still viewed as heroes in a time of crisis. It's human nature. I'm not even saying anything negative about them. It's just something to kind of watch and see if it happens, because it happens in just about every crisis. And that will prolong this thing. And when there is another flare-up, we're going to get a whole lot of, from the medical establishment, who doesn't understand making a payroll and doesn't understand losing a job, because they've actually, you know, many of them that have been on the front lines of this thing, I'm sure they're getting a ton of overtime. This has been very lucrative to them. All the stress of going in and having to face this virus head on, that's its own stress. But they don't know the financial stress that this has put on tens of millions of Americans. And so if there's another flare-up that will come, I'm a little worried we're going to hear some giant, we told you so's. We told you so's, because they don't have the context of stepping into the shoes of a small business owner or just an employee who needs to get to work. So we're going to see how this all plays out and whether or not there ends up being some level of conflict between healthcare authorities and even people on the front lines and average human beings who just want their lives back. They're ready to take the risk. We really appreciate all the work that you do, and we're so glad that you're there in case we need you. But the bottom line is, we got to get our lives back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, next hour I'm going to get into my real wheelhouse here. We got the phase four, phase 40. I don't know what we're at in the bailouts, but I'm going to get to that next hour. And you're going to love one of the ideas floating around out there. It was there during the financial crisis, too. They've got an idea to not add to the debt and be able to bail everybody out with a lot of money, like a universal basic income. It is absolutely a harebrained idea. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good. Two things, just ramblings and stuff. You ever notice that whenever even the governor of Mississippi puts together these commissions on reopening, they want to do what's best for the farmers, but yet there's no farmers involved in that? It's
yeah.
kind of like when they talk about education, they never really have any teachers involved in it. Or when they talk about what the healthcare industry needs, they don't ever talk to any nurses or doctors. It's always just the corporate folks.
Yeah, and that's what the Committee to Reopen America, I mean, Jeff Bezos. You think Jeff Bezos is really interested in all the mom-and-pop retail stores opening up as healthy competitors to his Amazon?
Well, I thought Bezos and Trump were bitter enemies.
Of course.
Trump has dog-cussed him, and Bezos, Washington Post, has tried to make a fool out of Trump numerous times. So
it's almost like it's all just political theater.
It's mind-blowing sometimes. But then also you brought up, and this is what I said from the get-go on this whole quarantine thing, 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
How in the hell do you expect somebody to stay home for 6 to 8 weeks?
You just hand them money. You just give them money and you goose unemployment. And you basically what we're doing is we're telling our grandchildren, hey, we want a bunch of people to stay at home, so you don't mind paying them for a few weeks, do you?
We're just making them wards of the state.
Yes, and
because,
this
is, like I said, if you cannot ask somebody who wants to work to stay home when they got rent to pay and food to buy. I mean,
well, and the nefarious part about it too is that politicians, and maybe it's some different faces, but this is why I just can't stand these two political parties that everybody's in the fight for. They've created the conditions that have taken the middle class and decimated it and turned us into a paycheck to paycheck society with no savings. They haven't given anybody any return on their savings for 11 years now so that corporations could borrow cheaply. And then they're surprised that no one has any savings. They tax you through the wazoo every single year and then are surprised we have no savings and that the government has to come save us again. I mean, this is the failure of political leadership. And that's why I can't abide by these people who just jump into one side or the other of this thing. They have failed you over and over again.
I saw something that a friend of mine posted on line this week, and he's a guy who is very astute in the financial dealings of the country and all of the stuff. And his thought was, what if the media really is fake and the leader really is a dumbass? It's possible they both could be correct.
Yeah, totally. You know, I'm actually going to talk about that on the other side of the break. I appreciate it. Got up against a hard break. Thanks for the calls. All right, we got to take a quick break. When I come back, though, that he brings up a point I was going to get to anyway. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You want to join the show, 601-879-0002. I'm going to get into the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan, which is my name for the bailouts, which is essentially robbing your $1,200 check notwithstanding. It's basically robbing the poor and the middle class, and particularly future generations, in order to prop up megacorporations with the $6 trillion of stuff they've already announced. It's kind of behind the scenes. Most people don't understand it, don't pay attention to it. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But the caller, in the last hour, kind of brought up something that I wanted to talk about. I'm a libertarian guy. A lot of people look down on that somehow as, I don't know, I guess the idea is that libertarians are for some level of chaos or something. And I talked the other day about the fact that people have this impression, you know, when you come to things like taxation, a lot of people think, well, you have to pay taxes because how would the government do this and that? Who would maintain the roads? Those kinds of things. I won't get into the minutiae of saying, well, every gallon of gasoline you buy has got about 50 cents of taxes for the roads. Anyway, the idea that maybe people would just be sitting around in their house with a car made by a private company sitting in the garage of the house that was built by a private company, but that we would be too stupid to figure out, just as a society, as local communities and private citizens, how to get a road underneath that car we bought. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of hyperbole in that, but that's what a lot of people think. It's like, if we don't have all these government institutions, how would we get this done or that done or this done? We'd never be able to do it. And I hope that this crisis really kind of shows you that your institutions are constantly failing you. Now, we've been talking for years, particularly on the right and within conservative media, about the failures of, like, the Department of Education. Come on. It was created in the 70s. What's happened to education since the 1970s? It's gotten markedly worse almost year over year for 50 years now. 45 years that the Department of Education has been there. But I say that across almost everything. And when you see what the CDC gets $11 billion a year. They weren't ready for a pandemic. People who went to the movies and was it to Contagion or whatever, the Outbreak or whatever, the movies that have come out over the past 20 years, they envisioned a pandemic. But the CDC with $11 billion a year just didn't, well, we didn't think it'd come like this. I understand every disease is different, but you didn't think about masks? $11 billion a year? I don't know how much an N95 mask cost, but I would feel like after, I don't know what, 5 years of $11 billion a year, so you got around at least $50 billion, $45 to $50 billion, you know, their budgets are constantly increased, most recently $11 billion. I would imagine with $50 billion, you might have had a big stockpile of N95 masks and ventilators or whatever else, but they didn't. And at this particular point, as you look at the failures across government, in response to this, whether it is their preparedness for this, whether it is their dictates to close down businesses and force us all to stay in our homes, government at just about every level has failed just about every American. I don't know why more people aren't libertarians at this point. You finally realize the power you have entrusted to a bunch of people who do not necessarily have the best decision-making skills. Now, what the caller at the end of last hour said is that got an email or someone was saying, well, what if the media is bad and Trump is bad? And that's the difference with me, is that everybody sees politics, not everybody, but so many people see politics as like a seesaw. And one side is up and the other side must necessarily be down. So if the Democrats are really bad, they're down. That lifts the Republican Party up. If the media is really bad and they go down, that automatically makes Trump better. He's good because the media that's so bad hates him. And I don't see things this way. My view of the world is not on a seesaw. They don't have to be interconnected because I believe that the media is terrible. And so I just put them in a single column of themselves. And if you can imagine a column that starts at 0 and goes up to 100, the media is at 2. But that number does not affect anything else. I just have my view of the media. And then I look at the Democratic Party. And where I would have said the Democratic Party might have been at a 10 out of 100 a while back, when at least they were pro-civil liberties and anti-war. They did have this in them. Maybe they were at a 10. Now they're at a 1. But that does not affect my view of the Republican Party. Then I look at the Republicans and I say, well, they do seem to do a pretty decent job of protecting gun rights, so they're stock goes up a little bit, but not very far. As important as that is, it doesn't make them in 100. You understand what I'm saying? These things are not connected, and the same with Donald Trump. The media is terrible. I dislike the media probably at least as much, if not more, than most people, but I've hated them for so long, I don't even really feel the need to talk about it. They're almost a nothing to me. I was telling you when I came on this air 3 years ago that Fox News is the mainstream media. Well, suddenly now Donald Trump's called out Fox News, and you realize, yes, they are the mainstream media. Fox News is terrible. Save maybe Tucker Carlson. And so there's no seesaw to me. Just because the media is terrible doesn't mean that Donald Trump goes up because the media hates him. He must be good. There is no connection between those two things to me. Kind of ditto, even with the deep state stuff. You know, people say, well, there's so many, Trump has so many enemies that he must really be good. Well, I got to tell you, he's got a lot of deep staters that he brought into his administration. So I judge him on that. I can't say that the establishment is against Donald Trump anymore. I thought that when he started and when we saw it coming through the campaign, but then he brought in some of the biggest globalists into his cabinet. I'm supposed to still think that because some globalists are against him, I'm supposed to ignore the globalists that he brought in, the Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker who's running the Treasury Department under Donald Trump right now. So my opinion is we would be better served if we didn't view this all as a seesaw where you had to be on one side or the other. If the other side is down, then that automatically makes your side up. They're not connected. They're all individual little bar graphs. And you can have a whole bunch of them that are no good. And that's kind of the way I see it. That's how a lot of libertarians see it. Just because, you know, there's the whole the enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing. Look, my friends are the people who I think are healthy for me, either financially or emotionally or anything. Just because somebody that I don't like doesn't like somebody else in certain situations, that may be good. Maybe in a true war and a fighting scenario. If you're at a bar and a fight breaks out and you can maybe partner up with somebody because the person starting all the problems hates both of you, and so you go, well, you know, but I don't tie myself to them for the rest of my life. I don't know if that makes sense to people, but I just see this idea that because one is bad, look, Donald Trump handled this whole, he came out and said this, his comments about look, let me put it this way. Here's an illustration of what it is. The media's coverage of Donald Trump and the disinfectant and inserting a light in somebody has been absolutely horrible. They've taken what he said, and they say a bunch of things he didn't say. Nancy Pelosi said something like he wants people to inject Lysol into their lungs. Quite obviously, Donald Trump didn't say that. I can't stand Nancy Pelosi, but it doesn't make what Trump said right. He had a huge gaffe, and I can't figure out. Now, I understand this is not Trump's personality. This is why he doesn't do it. But politicians in general, wouldn't it be refreshing if Donald Trump just came out and said, yeah, I got to tell you, I am in these briefings all day long, and I hear so much science, and I am exhausted, and that was a bit of a brain fart. You know, I didn't really mean it that way or what, you know, just kind of a almost laugh it off himself. So, yeah, the way that came out sounded really dumb. I'm just searching for some answers for the American people, and boy, I've been worried. I mean, just exhausted all these press conferences. So that was not my best moment. And then leave it at that. But he didn't. He had to come out and say, oh, I was being sarcastic. No, you weren't. So just because the media is running with this disinfectant story and juicing it up and attributing things he didn't say and then trying to say people are ingesting cleaners now, they're all going to die because of Donald Trump. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's why my opinion of the media is at a 2. And that may be generous. There's people out there who hear me right now. They go, why isn't it a 0? Well, occasionally the Miami Herald comes out with a story about Jeffrey Epstein that actually gets Jeffrey Epstein in trouble. There's the 2 right there. Occasionally, the media does something that's good. But just because because I can't stand the media, and I can't stand Nancy Pelosi, who's trying to dig at Trump politically about that, doesn't make what Trump said good. It doesn't lift Trump up to me. Trump stands on his own 2 feet by his actions. That was a dumb thing to say, and he deserves some ridicule for it. And I think he could have come out and disarmed it by just going, yeah, that was not my best moment. You got to understand, we're We're just trying to do whatever. I mean, there were so many ways to handle that. But to come out and say, well, I was just being sarcastic. And then I see people having to defend that. Yeah, he was being sarcastic. He wasn't even talking to Burks. Yes, he was. In some of the clips, it was. I guess the bottom line of what I'm trying to say, and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to get into these reverse Robin Hood rescue plan stuff, is just because one person is bad doesn't make someone else good. They can all be bad. It's kind of like war. It's kind of like the Middle East. There can be just a bunch of bad players across the world. There's a bunch of bad governments. Some are worse than others. China's got an absolutely terrible, terrible government. But that doesn't necessarily just mean that some other government is fantastic because China's down, so this one must be way high up. They're just bad, and everybody's looking for a good guy versus... We always want the white hat versus the black hat. It's so simple, right? If you see one that you hate, then the one that they hate must be great because they oppose each other. No, sometimes there's just bad across the board. Now, there are some things about Donald Trump that I do praise here when I can find them. But, you know, as a libertarian, I don't need a hero politically. I want them to all be quiet and leave me alone. And I don't know a better example than this pandemic that should make more people want more freedom and less interference or even any sound bites from Washington, D.C. I don't want to hear Fauci. If he's got some relevant facts, then put them out there and let us make up our own minds. But he's become some kind of a demagogue now. I don't need any of these people. Give me some facts so I can wake up in the morning and make some decisions for myself. That's all I need. I don't need your guidance. I don't need your leadership. And this is very odd for people. People want to be led. They want to be sold something. It's why Mitt Romney got anywhere in politics. I mean, objectively, I would think Mitt Romney is a kind of a good-looking guy. Kind of your, you know, Joe America. He got a pretty strong jaw. I mean, he's getting older now. He's got his slick back hair. People want to be sold that kind of stuff. You get sold a politician. You get sold. And the way you sell things is you package them up. And I'm going to get into the China stuff, too, today. You're being sold something on China. Really, kind of a fascinating article about China. Anyway, don't view life as a seesaw, where just because one thing is bad, it makes the other thing great. It is a very simplistic view. View everything independently. Not on two sides of a spectrum, but each its individual pillar. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
That bump music, if you're listening on the podcast, sometimes the bump music is different. You can get the podcast if you want to. You can go to WYEB.com and scroll down to my show page, and you can find my podcast on Podbean, which is themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. And as a listener let me know the other day, my podcast is also on the TuneIn app, where you can listen to WYAB. If you're not around a radio, you can download the TuneIn app and look for WYAB. Apparently, my podcast is on there, too. It has come alive all by itself there. I have no idea how it got onto the TuneIn app, but it's there. That bump music was called No Phone. Nothing worse than coming on air and telling you about a dream that I had, so I won't do that. But what I have found is a trend in my dreams. You know, I like dream interpretation stuff. No expert at it, but it's always interesting. Sometimes if you have a weird dream, you look it up online to see what that's supposed to be. I have a lot of dreams where I fly, but I don't fly like Superman. I have to kick my legs really hard, like pedaling a bicycle. And I'm sure there's something psychological about that. I can fly, but why is it so difficult for me to stay in the air? I almost can self-judge that. You know, you have the dreams of going to a public event, but you're naked. You can kind of see some level of insecurity in that. People are really going to see me as I am. I mean, I've had those too. I have noticed a lot of my dreams in the past year or so are based around the fact that I lose my phone and I freak out, or someone takes my phone, I end up with somebody else's phone and I'm cut off from everybody. It is abhorrent to me as somebody who just is kind of a late adopter to technology, and I like to pretend like I'm not addicted to my phone like everybody else is. You know, I think I'm a little pompous about that actually, because I try not to use my phone for everything, and I don't. If I'm eating with somebody, I'm not going to be the guy at the table staring at his phone while other people are talking. Never going to happen. I turn it to silent and I flip it over on its face because I want to interact with other human beings. So I get this holier-than-thou attitude about myself, like I'm not addicted. I'm having all these dreams constantly, and the biggest plot of the whole thing is I'm trying to get somewhere or do something, but I don't have my phone. Somebody took my phone. I left my phone somewhere. My phone's not charged. This is in a lot of my dreams now. It's got to be unhealthy. President Donald Trump on Friday signed a $484 billion spending package that includes more money for small businesses, the latest bid by Washington lawmakers to rescue an economy. That's a Freudian slip right there. An economy. That's what we have right now. We have an economy. Devastated by the corona pandemic. This is what Trump said. He tweeted out, I believe. Oh, no, I guess this was a comment in the Oval Office. He said, great for small businesses, great for workers. This is a tremendous victory. And I purposely went this weekend to try to find an image of Trump signing this new bill. He's all smiles. He's got the bill up there and, you know, in the binder, and he's looking at it. And you got the Republicans all lined up behind him, all smiling, too. Just, ugh. I don't know if being a libertarian has made me so repulsed by all the politicians that have to crowd into a shot behind somebody. You know, somebody's at a podium, there've got to be 8 people, ignoring all social distancing, to make sure they get their face in the shot. I don't know if being a libertarian makes that worse for me, or I always hated that, and that's why I became a libertarian, where I just kept looking at these faces and going, none of these people are qualified to run my life. I'm sick of all of them. I guess I'm just a libertarian now. I don't know which path that took, but I'm there. See all these Republican faces smiling, and oh, they're so proud of themselves because they passed a bill that was double what they originally wanted to do, right? It was going to do $250 billion to get more money to small businesses. It ballooned up to $484 billion. But they're all so proud. It's just a great victory for everybody except whoever has to essentially pay this money back or live through the default. Now, I'm going to tell you in just a second what they're... There's a miracle coming to solve all of our problems. Mike Madison is totally wrong when he keeps talking about adding to the debt. They've got that all figured out. The geniuses in politics and the Treasury Department have got that figured out in just a second. But I wanted to give you some quotes. I like my quotes here just for consideration, just for, you know, a few giggles. A lot of people on the conservative side consider themselves patriots and admirers of the Founding Fathers. I don't know why most people still admire the Founding Fathers, because we ignore everything they have to say, but here's just a couple of quotes I ran across. This is Thomas Jefferson. And to preserve their independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. That's Thomas Jefferson. Here's John Adams. There are only two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword, the other is by debt. And again, I'm sorry, but the Republicans are supposed to be better on this issue. Unfortunately, they're only better when they're in the minority and they have no control over it. That's part of the political theater, see? It's just like they were all ready to get rid of Obamacare until they got into the majority, and then strangely enough, they just couldn't get it done. But boy, they sure campaigned on getting rid of that dastardly Obamacare. When they're in the minority, they at least talk big, but they actually never take any action. So I bring this to your attention, because the Republican Party, this is, I'm telling you, there's a picture of Donald Trump, big smile, surrounded by a bunch of other Republicans with giant smiles as they bankrupt the country. It should at least be a somber occasion, like a signing that doesn't even have a camera in the room, like a hang your head moment. I can't believe we have found ourselves with a society with a bunch of business owners and a bunch of citizens that have no savings because of how badly we've mismanaged this country. This is incredibly sad. We got to get them some help, but we don't want any. They should be wanting to do this in the shadows, but they're not. They're doing it in front. The founding fathers would punch him in the face when they saw that smile. But here is John Adams again. A bank that issues paper at interest is a pickpocket or a robber, but the delusion will have its course. An aristocracy is growing out of them that will be as fatal as the feudal barons if unchecked in time. And unfortunately, he said that about 225 years ago. So unchecked in time, it has become. Here's Benjamin Franklin. When the people find they can vote themselves money, that will herald the end of the republic. And that's where we are right now. And I don't appreciate a bunch of Republican leadership smiling about it, to be honest with you. And lastly, Thomas Jefferson, I sincerely believe that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies, and that the principles of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale. Let me read that one part again. The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity at a large scale. 2020 speak. It's just nothing but robbing future generations of their quality of life to fund the programs that the mental midgets in Washington, D.C. want to fund now. And again, as I go back to the beginning of my show, it's fear. It's fear that drives all this stuff. But they do have a solution. I need to always make sure I'm giving you both sides here. I don't want to be seen as just so dogged in my beliefs that I don't take in alternative views. They've got a plan for not adding to the national debt with all this spending. It's just, and it sounds so simple.
The federal government is set to launch its contact tracing app today.
Oh,
that will help health.
Oh, what a such a good lead up to that, and then let's see if I got this right.
Have you heard of the ABC Act?
No.
This is a proposal. ABC stands for Automatic Boost to Communities.
Oh.
It would provide a boost debit card. We would all get this.
Hmm.
By the way, all of us, taxpayers, dependents, non-citizens, even if you don't have a bank account or a Social Security number, even if you don't have an address, everybody gets it. $2,000. And then your card would be reloaded with $1,000 every month until 1 year after the end of the virus crisis.
Woo! Apparently, it stands for Automatic Boost to Communities, ABC.
Automatic Boost to Communities. So now this would be a huge amount of money.
I was going to say, who's paying for that?
Okay. The ABC Act would be paid with two $1 trillion coins. The ABC Act would be funded directly from the Treasury with no additional debt. How could you do that?
Platinum coins?
Two $1 trillion platinum coins.
Who has them?
Additional coins would be minted as needed. So this way it wouldn't count on the debt. It wouldn't be borrowed money. They would invent $2 trillion. Title 31 of the U.S. Code gives the Treasury Secretary, that would be Steve Mnuchin, the authority to mint and issue platinum bullion coins.
This has been floated around for quite some period of time. These are the people that are leading us, ladies and gentlemen. $2 trillion coins. I got to tell you, I can't wait for the biggest heist in human history. And now all it will take is, I don't know where these coins will be stored, but boy, wouldn't it be nice to be a little jingle in your pocket and you're a $2 trillionaire. And if this is the case, why don't they just make, why just stop at two of them? Why don't you just print up 30 of them? Pay off the national debt. We'll just pretend that these coins that are stored somewhere have absorbed all the debt. And the U.S. doesn't know anything. We just ship China one of these pretty little coins. Notwithstanding the idea that people want to stiff China now. We think that's a good idea in response to the pandemic. this is actually out there. It is. This idea has been around for a while. I don't know if it's ever been proposed in a bill. And I don't even know, maybe I'll check during the break, who's behind the ABC Act. I smell some Democrat involvement in here, but never put it past any politician to pull some other fake rabbit out of the hat as a way to address these things. But I don't know. Maybe dumber things have worked. I can't think of one, but maybe it's possible. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Joe called during the break. Was talking about universal basic income. Look, there are a whole raft from both parties of horrible, horrible ideas coming out around this pandemic. I mean, from the shutdowns to the lockdowns to the arresting people to enhanced unemployment where people are getting paid $600 a week more to not work. There's just a whole raft of bad ideas out there. Absolutely. It's like playing whack-a-mole. I can't really even cover them all here. I'm looking at my notes of what else I have to get into today. In this new world, you know, I've been some level of an entrepreneur most of my life. I've worked for myself either as an independent contractor for another firm, or I've actually started several businesses myself from scratch. And I got to tell you, I guess I just need to get into the business of going out, and I always bootstrapped businesses. I didn't want to go heavily in debt to them. The first company, when I was in my 20s, I borrowed $50,000 from the SBA. And this business grew because of that funding. Business grew and ended up doing business in 26 states. I think I was like 24, 25 years old. But I learned a debt lesson there, because when business turned against me and a competitor came in and crushed me like a bug, I suddenly had this, I was staring at like $46,000. Actually, I think by the time our business went out, it was, I just remember the bank calling me and saying, hey, y'all owe $38,000. I had a partner and I paid 19, and then I got a call a few weeks later and they said, hey, we got your 19, but we can't locate your business partner if you got another 19. I was like, uh-oh. Anyway, I learned my debt lesson there. But we've got a new debt lesson in the new America, which is if you borrow enough, you know, instead of bootstrapping any more businesses from now on, which is what I do, I'm actually always doing stuff like that. What I need to do is just commit to getting millions and millions of dollars worth of loans and just launching the crap out of a business way bigger than I'm prepared for. But if I can get millions and millions of dollars to hire hundreds and hundreds of people to enact my vision, then suddenly I become too big to fail. I don't know what that number is, but if I got a few million dollars and I could hire 500 people, I know that would really probably take even, you know, I guess I need to really set my sights on the new America standard, which is I need to get like $50 million minimum, $50 to $100 million, go into debt, $50 to $100 million, hire at least 500 people, and then just take as much money off the top as I possibly can. Now, that will make my company vulnerable, but the end result of starting any business is some level of personal success. So I need to loot the business as much as possible, and then when the very obvious cracks show because of anything that happens in the world, because I've left my company so vulnerable, I'll just wait for the government to bail me out. See, I have had businesses that have succeeded and failed, and when I succeeded, I kept some money. And I did okay, and when it failed, it ended up costing me a lot of money, that first business. I mean, I had to stroke a check for night. There's nothing more insulting. You know, a lot of people leave. For those of you who have not ever owned your own business, you leave work, maybe you're laid off, maybe you get a severance, or you walk away with your 401k, or, you know, that's vested. You walk away usually with something. It may be a tragedy you lose your job, but you walk away with something. I walked away from my first business with a big, fat $19,000 bill. And now in new America, In new America, as long as you load yourself up with a ton of debt and you got enough people working for you, you take every nickel you can off the top, leave your company very, very vulnerable, and then just wait for something to happen and say, oh, I couldn't have seen this coming. I need a bailout. And they do it. You know, I guess when you borrow that money, though, just one way, if anybody's kind of making note of this, we've got to adapt to new America, the USSA. Did I say that right? USSA? We got to throw a socialist in there at some point. My mind is, I'm going to go ahead and get ahead of the curve now. When you borrow that money, when you borrow the $50 or $100 million to get you up to the level where you just can't fail, you got to take a few hundred thousand of that and you got to buy yourself some Congress critters. Now, strangely enough, they're really not that expensive. I believe you can get a good congressman for around $10,000 to $25,000. It sounds like pretty little, doesn't it? But there's so many of them competing for this stuff, and, you know, maybe they don't have the committee. Maybe if you've got a committee assignment or something and you're, you know, and oversees your industry, then it's more expensive. You know, that congressman's $25,000. But so, you know, you get $50 to $100 million, you borrow it, you just peel off, I don't know, $300,000-$500,000 out of that, which is really a very small percentage of that, and you go out and you buy yourself some Congress critters. And what they do is they go in and they tinker with the tax code for you. You know, the tax code is 77,000 pages long, so they stick in some little language to where, you know, the way I like to take profits maybe isn't taxable, like a hedge fund or a timber farmer. No insult meant to timber farmers. I don't want you paying taxes anyway. I don't want any of us paying any taxes, so that's fine. It's just, you know, that's what you got to do. So they go in and they put your little thing in there. That's the new America, people. And that's the people who are going to succeed in this new, unless we take the country back. And the chances of that did not look good. We're patting ourselves on the back for being strong. Our strength was cowering in our homes. Oh, man, there's so many bad ideas out there. I've just got notes on a ton of them today. What do I get to? I got Carnival. I got our colleges going to go back into session in the fall. Are you kidding me? This is a topic for April, whatever it is. We're trying to decide whether or not we can go back to school in 5 months. Isn't that a parent's decision? The colleges really don't have the ability to look at exactly what's happened and realize that with 50,000 deaths, and that number is inflated, and that this was no zombie apocalypse, so maybe they take some extra precautions and educate their students when they come back. But isn't that up to the parents and the children who go to attend a university? No. This is going to come from the top down. America strong. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment on the show. As I try to, like I say, there's so many bad ideas out there on all sides of this issue, at every level, from the local mayors to the governors to the president to the Congress to the banks to the, I mean, economics to the health experts. There's just bad decisions everywhere. It's very difficult to fit it all into 2 hours, trust me. On the seesaw of things, you know, I find it hard to have a favorable approval of Republicans who have just been very all smiles about around $10 trillion of new spending. I'm including all of the phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, and phase five is going to be something like some $2 trillion infrastructure bill. But currently they're at around $10 trillion. We add all that stuff up and then include what the Federal Reserve has done. We're at about $10 trillion of new spending, and the Republicans are all smiles about that. Very difficult. See, that's not a seesaw. Just because the Democrats are terrible, and I'm about to get into that right now. The Democrats could be even worse. But because one is worse than the other does not make me like the other. The former vice president said that the next round of coronavirus stimulus needs to be, quote, a hell of a lot bigger, unquote, than last month's $2 trillion CARES Act, that it needs to include massive aid to the states and cities to prevent them from, quote, laying off a hell of a lot of, a lot of teachers, cops, and firefighters, and that the administration is already, quote, wanting a hell of a lot of money, unquote. This is Joe Biden, if you saw. Somebody woke up Pop and did an interview with him. Come on, Joe. Can you think you can do an interview? We'll promise. Well, it'll only be 7 minutes. We know that's kind of your peak right now. So somebody woke up Joe Biden, and he did. And he was just all everything was a hell of a lot of this or a hell of a lot of that. I think there might have been some SOBs thrown. It was the tough Joe woke up. I guess they got him. He might have been grumpy. You know how you are after a nap when you really, really get into a deep sleep and someone wakes you up. I think he might have been grumpy during this thing. But he says he would spend a hell of a lot more money. Stimulus is a close subject to his heart, and he passionately contrasted his own management of President Barack Obama's $800 billion Recovery Act in 2009 with President Donald Trump's approach to the trillions of dollars flowing out of Capitol Hill. And then this story, I can't remember where this was, if this was AP or whatever. The Obama stimulus was wildly controversial, but it won bipartisan praise for its strict oversight and unusually low levels of fraud. I mean, I guess technically that's right. Yeah, there was no fraud. The stated purpose of just bailing out a bunch of banks was so abhorrent, they just made it legal, and I guess you consider that's not fraudulent. I mean, it is stealing money from children yet unborn and giving it to a bunch of corporate executives who've been looting their companies, goosing their options, leaving themselves vulnerable, and we bailed them out with taxpayer dollars. I guess that's a low level of fraud if you just make it legal. So, yeah, I mean, Biden would actually be worse. I mean, and you know, the funny thing to me is these politicians, both parties, the Democrats are particularly bad at this. This idea of stealing money from hundreds of millions of people and then giving it here or there and then patting yourself on the back for being so charitable. It's just unbelievable they get away with that, but they do. There was a comment under this story, and this just shows you. You know, this is the teeter-totter. This is the seesaw stuff. Here's what some reader said. This must have been on The Hill or something. It definitely wasn't a Breitbart article because this commenter would have been run out of town. Trump was given a strong economy from President Obama, which lasted 12 years. It took Trump over 3.5 years. The guy's math is already bad, but anyway. It took Trump over 3.5 years to destroy it, just like his businesses. And now it will take another Democrat to fix the mess we are in. I mean, look. We can have all the debates we want about mail-in voting, electronic voting. I already said this is the next scam to come down the pike. It's amazing to me that, you know, and yes, this is ripe for fraud, and I believe both parties are involved in it. I ask, if there's been fraud, if a lot of illegals are voting, why aren't the Republicans busting the Democrats for this? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Why is nobody prosecuted for that? Every Republican I know takes it for granted that illegal immigration is one of the tools used to bring more people in this country to get them to elect a bunch of Democrats. So why have your leaders in the Republican Party not busted anybody for it and stopped it? It's almost like it's all just theater. They don't really care. I guess I've got a clip here. Maybe I should say Adam Schiff came out. Somebody woke up Adam Schiff, and he got a microphone for a little while. Just had one of the most disgusting comments. I guess I'll play it. I'm looking at the clock, trying to figure out. I mean, there's so much to cover. There's so much badness out there, and that's my forte. It's trying to find the absolutely terrible things that and wake people up to them. Here he is. Here's Adam Schiff.
We had to answer the question to the senators. Okay, essentially, House managers, You've proved him guilty. Does he really need to be removed? After all, we have an election in 9 months. How much damage could he really do? And we posed that question to the Senate, and we answered it by saying that he could do an awful lot of damage. But frankly, Chris, I don't think we had any idea how much damage he would go on to do in the months ahead.
Here it comes.
There are 50,000 Americans now who are dead in significant part because of his incompetence, because of his inability to think beyond himself and put the country first.
Now, aren't these the same people that were predicting 2 million people dead? You know, to you leftists out there, I understand you hate Donald Trump. Look, I don't like any of them, so I think you got about as fair a voice on radio as you can get right here on the Mike Madison Show. But come on. Everybody was telling us there's going to be 2 million people dead, maybe 200,000, even as they ratcheted it down. So 50,000 seems like a tremendous success by your metrics, not mine. I mean, yeah, Adam Schiff comes on and essentially says, well, we didn't impeach Trump. And look what happened. He killed 50,000 people. Look, there are stupid enough people to believe this and to actually, they will take that talking point and go out there. The talking point stuff, I was so guilty of it. I have to remind myself. Like, literally, when I want to really scold people about just taking talking points and just mindlessly repeating them, kind of like the, we need to not pay our bonds to China. I don't have time to get into that story. I'll get into it tomorrow to explain to you what's going on there. But I used to take talking points, too, and then I'd be set loose in society to cocktail parties and conversation with my friends, and I would just regurgitate the Republican talking points. I never knew how dumb I looked. Some Democrats will take Adam Schiff's talking point of Trump killing. It's not just his. It's the whole Democratic Party of killing 50,000 people. It's just absolutely stunning what we have become. Universal basic income, that'll solve it all. All right, that's all the time I've got. Have a great day. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.